Another week of employment. Still so new, still so novel. Work. I got work. You're in the stream with Mishko, you lucky stiffs. Could be worse. Email me, Mishki at citypages.com. Write me. But that'll take a while. It has to get all the way over to 5th and 3rd in downtown Minneapolis. I don't know how fast the old Pony Express goes these days. Otherwise, call 651-330-4091, 651-330-4091. Make it spell something and win a trip to Tahiti. Doggone it, it's a glorious day out there. Yeah, I know. I know what you're thinking. You people who remember the KSTP days, and you're right. Of course that's going to happen. Yeah, it's going to happen. You know it. I know it. The American people know it. You people new to this show, and who are you, by the way? You don't know what's going to happen. It involves a song. It's a ritual. It goes back many years. I don't know how many years in a row we've done it. And it's just a way to acknowledge what's going on outside. If you've been outside, you know what's going on out there. But it's important for we Minnesotans to acknowledge it in some official way. For those of you listening outside of the state of Minnesota, well, it's just damn warm out there, and it hasn't been for a long time. We had a cold one over the last few months, and some deity up there is smiling, saying, here, here's a little gift. I know it's rough. The economy's kind of a drag here. Oh, and let me buy you a round. Yep, the religion I subscribe to, that's how it works. You people who are more into asceticism, you probably are jealous. Hey, I don't know who your God is, but you know, trade them in for mine if you'd like. Your call. My guy, by the way, did not say, I am the way, the truth, and the light. My guy just said, I'm an option. All right. There is a song I'm going to play before I ever get to the magic song you're thinking of. And what's sad is maybe only about three people listening know what I'm talking about with this yearly ritual. It's almost always a March day when what kind of winds do are they? What kind of are they? Zephyr winds? What are these winds we're dealing with? Nice. I think they're called officially nice winds. It's usually a March day when they blow in and when I blow out, the song you're going to hear shortly. But before I get to that song, yo ding flippin', what you call your whiz-bang highfalutin' heidi-heidi hosky to Zane Dominic's trio. I'm sure digging a lot of the stuff you're doing. Happy to be introduced to you by Andrea Swenson, I'm the City Pages editor, otherwise known as my professor. And I'm liking a lot of the stuff you're doing, and before we get to the stuff I gotta play as part of the ritual of spring, ladies and gentlemen, just to get you in the mood, and pretend it's Friday, because you had this temperature out there to Friday, and smoking Joe Frazier, imagine how hard it would be to even get half a day's work in. What I got for you here is a little something to put you in the mood for Friday on a Monday. Sorry, it's the best I can do. It's gonna have to suffice.
Like your lover through. inside of us? Is that light in us? You got a light that shines inside of you.
Hoping, ladies and gentlemen, that all of you are planning to live prior to your death. I recommend if you haven't gotten started yet that you start today. It's a good day to live. How come the Indians never said that? It was always a good day to die. What did they know about what was going on the other side that we didn't? Meanwhile, we're hanging on for dear life, even in a persistent vegetative state. Don't unplug that! I need to live before I die. This is Mishki at City Pages. You're in the stream. Guess what's going on about a mile from my front door here. They're putting up a billboard right now. And it says the following. Injured? Question mark. Guess what the photograph is next to that? It's a picture of Johnny Cochran. Help. Seriously, help, explain this. It's going up right now. I saw it when I was out driving a little while ago. It's a big billboard, and it says, Injured! And then there's a picture of Johnny Cochran. Apparently there's a... lawyer's operation behind that, some attorney group partnership kind of situation. Johnny Cochran died in 2005, okay? Well, what I did is climbed up on the billboard and spray painted under where it says injured question mark. No! Dead! It just doesn't make sense the way they have it set up. Injured question mark and a picture of a guy who's been gone since 2005. Injured? No, I believe completely decomposed about now. Next question. So does Johnny Cochran lend his name and photograph to some partnership he has nothing to do with? And how does that pass the truth in advertising organization? Johnny's not there. Hi, I have been injured in a car accident. Like Johnny Cochran to represent me? He did a swell job with OJ. And in that case, it wasn't injured question mark. It was shish kebabbed. Here's what I'm concerned about. You're going to be calling up expecting to get Johnny Cochran. I might have to call and to see if I can get Johnny. There's my producer coming in. Come here, pal. Come here, buddy. Say hi to the folks. Now, what are the child labor laws? I don't know, but introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Malone.
And you are officially the producer, and City Pages has agreed to pay you, I believe at this point, just slightly under your weekly allowance. And you're willing to do that, you said, for 6 months?
Yes.
And we'll reevaluate then. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, son. And he just delivered the music. How come it says H-A-C-K? What does that mean? Hack. Hack.
Track.
Oh, track. Sorry. Got you, buddy. He's delivering the holy water sort of deal. It comes in a chalice, this CD. We bring it out only once a year. I'm putting it in now. I sent him to the... I sent him to the... went crazy. I sent him to the safe deposit box to get it. There it is, ready to go. Should I call Cochrane, the Cochrane group? Hang on, see if Johnny's around. Injured?
Welcome to
Comcast. Hang on a second.
Press 1 for English, 2 for...
Johnny Cochrane.
City and state, please.
I think Minneapolis. We'll go with Minneapolis. Minnesota?
Sorry. What's that city and state again?
Sorry's not going to cut it, lady.
What listing?
Oh, you sound defeated. Johnny Cochrane. Group.
One moment, please. An operator will be right with you.
The five Cochranes.
Thank you for continuing to wait.
Playing at the Turf Club this Friday. He's not dead. He's been cloned 5 times. Listen to this group. Hit it, Bailey.
Johnny Cochran, you said?
Yeah, the attorney.
In what city and state first, please?
Minneapolis.
Minnesota.
Probably the only time a guy's going to call today asking for the number of a dead man.
I'm sorry for that, ma'am. I don't have a Johnny Cochran
fault.
Or a John Cochran in Edina, Minnesota on Merrill Drive.
Is it an attorney?
It doesn't say here. Let me do a category search for that.
Yeah, this is an attorney.
Oh, yes, it is. An attorney here.
You're kidding me. Maybe he staged the whole thing. All right, can you connect me? Because I don't have any fingers.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Have a great day.
Aren't you going to say sorry about me not having fingers?
The number is 651-298-1950. Call 411 for movie listings
me?
And showtimes. This call may be completed at no additional charge and carried by Comcast.
How do you do that?
To complete this call, please press 1 now. Otherwise, please hold for your number.
You getting that? I'm hitting it.
Again, the number is 651-298-1950.
298-1950.
298-1950.
298-1950. 298-1590. 298-298-1590. Was that it? No. No! What did I do wrong?
The number you have dialed is not in service or is assigned in a different area code.
Well, Edina, that's...
Take the number and dial again.
Oh, man. What was the number? Someone tell me it. What digits? How bad? How off was I? Oh, God. Did someone write that down? Usually there's a listener writing it down. Call me now. 651-330-4091. 330-4091, son. What did I get wrong?
Yeah, the last digits, it was 1950.
And what were the first digits?
298.
Why was it a 651 if it's in Edina?
Oh, I don't know the area code. I think the area code. Yeah, I think the recording did say 651.
It did say 651. So what digits did you come up with, Camper?
298-1950.
Thanks very much. 298-1950. 298-1950. Why was that so hard to remember? Johnny Cochran. He's not dead. He's in charge of a big-time law firm. 2009. Injured? Could be bleeding to death waiting for these guys. Oh, no, not a machine. You're kidding me. Hi, this is Johnny Cochran. I'm dead.
651.
This isn't an attorney's office.
81950. At the tone.
This isn't what Johnny Cochran would have.
Your message. Press 1.
If suspicion you detect, you must disconnect. What the hell is going on? All right. Hang on.
Welcome to Comcast Directory Assistance. Press 1. City and state, please.
Edina, Minnesota.
Medina, Minnesota. Is that right?
No, you moron. Edina, Minnesota.
Did you want Medina, Minnesota?
I'm going to say it one more time, all right? And then I'm going to find out where your husband works. Edina, Minnesota.
What listing?
Johnny Cochran, attorney at law, deceased.
One moment, please. An operator will be right with you.
Thank you for continuing to wait.
Thank you for waiting. How can I, your Lufa attorney at law?
What? Johnny Cochran, attorney at law? Somewhere in the Minneapolis-St. Paul metropolitan area, used to be 7 county, now considered 10 and growing. Soon to involve a Wisconsin county. I don't know how we allowed that.
Cochran, so it is C-O-C-H-R-A-N.
Yeah, Johnny. It's the Johnny Cochran Group. Injured?
In the dying.
Huh? Where is it? Why are we talking at the same time? Is it in Edina? Or Medina?
I'm checking on it.
Huh? Medina is an ancient Middle Eastern city, isn't it? Medina? Damascus, I guess, is the oldest city in the world.
I'm checking on it.
I suppose you don't get a lot of calls for listings in Damascus. Talk about calling dead people. I call dead people.
I've heard of Cochran for the last name Cochran. I'm not finding anything here. I have a John Cochrane. The one of 6th Street in St. Paul.
John Cochrane.
That's what I'm pulling. I'm nothing for Johnny Cochran.
I can't believe that. Injured? Johnny Cochran, the Cochran Group. The Cochran Group or the... Joe Cocker? I'm not feeling all right. I just got injured today. You don't have a Cochran Group or Cockadoodie Cochran or Cuckoo Cachoo. I am the walrus. I am injured. They don't just kill seals. Boy.
Cochran for the last name Cochran, the other one that I'm pulling up here. I have a David Cochran, the business in Minneapolis.
Is he an attorney? Is he an attorney?
Yes.
He is? David Cochran.
Yes.
African American fella?
Just not sure of that one, sir, but this is the only one that I got here. This one is in Minneapolis.
Could someone go get the phone number off that billboard on Pierce Butler? Boy, that doesn't sound right. You know, it's odd. When I called last time, a directory assistance operator, I believe her name was Denise, lovely gal, said in Edina there was a Johnny Cochran attorney at law. Fire her, or she's right and you're wrong, in which case I'm sorry. If it's any consolation, you join legions of Americans also looking for work.
Would you know the street where it is on?
Well, it's on a little street that leads to a cemetery and ends 6 feet under, where an attorney who defended O.J. Simpson is smiling. Smiling because he continues to operate years after passing away. You know, 2005 we lost that guy, and his face is up on a billboard a mile from here, just going up now. Injured?
I'm checking on it. Edina, Minnesota, for the last name Cochran. I'm really not finding anything here, sir. I could connect your call for
Do you know any sea shanties?
I'm sorry?
Do you know any sea shanties?
No, sir.
Your loss. Okay, thank you kindly. Okay. Appreciate it.
That would help you out.
It's time. Let's do it. Paul and Tim Franzik.
When winter lets go of Minnesota, when the spring comes marching in, we all come out of hibernation and we wipe the drool from our chins. We walk around like drunk albinos with a big ass grin. When winter lets go of Minnesota, when the spring comes marching in, winter lets go of Minnesota, when 10,000 lakes start to thaw and the ladies slip out of their snowsuits, well, my hormones start to gnaw. It may be only 50 degrees, but we're doing yard work in the raw. When winter lets go of Minnesota, when 10,000 lakes start to thaw.
All right, everybody on this one now, let's go.
So let's do the spring cleaning. Buy some bratwurst and Summit beer. Fire up the grill and call the neighbors, 'cause the spring is finally here. We'll make a toast to April showers. Go make love in the Mayflower, 'cause these days one holds undoubtedly dear. When you're frozen for the better part of the year, winter lets go of Minnesota, when the golf clubs are dusted off and the doctors, they're so happy they don't even care if you turn your head when you cough, and the drivers on 35W will blow you a kiss instead of flip you off. When winter lets go of Minnesota, when the golf clubs are dusted off, so let's do the spring cleaning. Buy some bratwurst and Summit beer. Fire up the grill and call the neighbors, because spring is finally here. We'll make a toast to April showers. Go make love in the Mayflowers, 'cause these days one holds undoubtedly dear. When you're frozen for the better part, when you're frozen for the better part, when you're frozen for the better part of the year.
Oh, hello, sorry. Sorry, I was seeing a guy about a horse. I'm with you. Hello. Hello. Mishki. City Pages. Cochran. Sorry. You know, the Rocky Mountain News. What was it? Rocky Mountain Dispatch? Rocky Mountain News? The Denver Daily went out of business. A group of former reporters and editors announced today a new effort to deliver news online. Hey, sounds a little like MinnPost. The group promises to launch an online publication at indenvertimes.com. Sounds more like MinnPost here. It wants to raise 50,000 pledges of $4.99 a month. Deadline's April 23rd. The site calls the pledges an investment to encourage a bold, creative effort to continue a vision based on a 150-year Denver tradition. News conference this morning. Everyone's going online. How much longer do you give the Pioneer Press? Let's start a pool, a dead pool for the Strib and the Pioneer Press as far as being something you can hold in your hand, smell, feel, get on your clothes and your fingers. Here's my guess. Pioneer Press is finished by December. Gone. December 1. I'm writing that down on the wall now. Do December 1, Mishki's guess for when the Pioneer Press goes under. Star Tribune, May 2010. There it is. All right, hold me to it, people. If you don't think my prognostications have a pretty serious record, talk to some people about when the film Milk came out. Seriously, you can. I got records on this. Milk comes out, the film. I've never heard of it. I haven't seen it. I haven't even encountered a trailer. In fact, I think I saw a trailer. It wasn't quite out yet. I went on the air and said, I guarantee you right now, just based on the confluence of various factors, the sort of perfect storm situation we're looking at in the country with what was being voted on in California and the climate and this being Hollywood and it being Sean Penn, you just knew, you just felt it. It was so intuitive and so powerful. I just said right then and there that day when that film was announced as something coming out, I said, Penn takes the Oscar. It's over. It's done. Finished. He's got it. Hands down. If too many things are working in his favor, not enough working against him. Well, I didn't think people would remember, but I got quite a few cards after the Academy Awards. Now, what other things have I called? Let's see. Just that. Norm Coleman to replace Steele as Republican National Committee Chairman. Word on the street, the next RNC chairman will be Norm Coleman. Boy, who do they have right now? Oh, that Michael Steele fella. And they're going to bounce him and put in Normie? I get it. Here's a quote from one of the Republicans. Yeah, we experimented with a black guy. It didn't work out. We're going to try a Jew. If that fails, it's another couple hundred years of WASPs. I was really hoping Norm would move on to private practice or move on to join Johnny Cochran. Well, Johnny Cochran is in private practice. Wait a minute. I was really hoping Norm wouldn't be on the front pages of the paper for about a decade after he lost to Frank, and now he's going to be there as often as he was as senator. Can't get away from this guy. Headline from today's news, Walker Art Center will trim $1.1 million from its budget. They're going to start by removing all of the art you don't fully understand. Now, that's not going to leave any art on the wall at all, but the cafeteria will still be open. 651-330-4091 here, or Mishki at citypages.com. You can email me or call, or again, just run over to Pierce Butler Avenue, and I'm right under the Cochran sign. What's this? New Wisconsin slogan, live like you mean it. That's their new slogan? Live like you mean it? What's the old slogan? Dahmer, lighten up on the guy. What was the old slogan? Live like you mean it? That's not really a slogan, is it? I mean, for a state that doesn't say anything about Wisconsin. Drink like you mean it. We're getting close. Governor Jim Doyle is unveiling the state's new marketing slogan. Live like you mean it. The slogan is part of a plan to give Wisconsin a unified branding strategy for the first time to differentiate the state from competitors. The goal is to convince business groups, state agencies, universities to use complementary marketing campaigns to sell Wisconsin and to embrace the idea of Wisconsin being a place where you live like you mean it. What was the old slogan? Life is good. Live like you mean it. As opposed to what? I'm living, but I don't really mean to live. It's just something that's happening to me. When my parents mated, I appeared. And it was weird because I never meant for it to happen. Now I'm being asked to live like I mean it. I think they meant it. Mom and Dad. Should I live the way they meant it? Because I think they meant to be orgasming, and I was an afterthought. I mean, what are you asking me to do here? Live like they orgasmed? Well, hello! Live like you mean it. I live like I fake it. I live like I sort of get it, but don't. I live like I mean to eventually live, but That's when I learned what living like I mean it means. Until then, I live like I lost it. I live like I dropped it. I live like I ate it. Well, live like something, damn it. They do in Wisconsin, if they live at all. And a lot of Wisconsinites don't, on account of neighbors. The old line in Wisconsin was live like a serial killer. And a lot of Wisconsinites took them up on that. Then there was live like a drunk, live like a wife beater. But live like you mean it is the new slogan. Now, other states have different slogans. What do we have in Arizona? The Grand Canyon State. How old-fashioned? Remember when slogans used to be like that? Missouri, the Show Me State. Remember that? North Carolina, first in flight. Huh? Even simple ones like Maine, worth a visit. Kind of like that. Probably is worth a visit. Just being honest. Maine, worth a visit. Some states get out of hand. A lot of states get out of hand. Kansas. Their slogan, as big as you think, but small-minded. Mississippi, feels like coming home, but smells like burnt toast. Maryland, this is their state slogan, ready? Seize the day off. North Carolina, a better place to be. I thought it was first in flight. Oh, they changed it. It's now a better place to be than Fallujah. What else do we have? Alabama, where America finds its voice. Where'd we lose it? Alabama, where America finds its voice. Really? We had our voice. During the time of Lincoln, we had a voice. Where'd it go? When did we lose it? What year? What decade? When? We lost it offshore, Tom. It was an abandoned oil rig accident, I believe. I think it was 74. If it wasn't for Alabama, our slogan would be Laryngitis Rocks. Alabama, Tom, is really where America found its voice again. Hmm? Don't believe Neil Young. I heard old Neil put her down. Well, I hope Neil Young will remember. America found its freaking voice here. Get me a beer. Sweet home. How about Oregon? We love dreamers. You nose to the grindstone types, stay out. I'd like to go to Oregon, see if anybody's getting anything done. Utah, this is still the right place. That's their state slogan in Utah. This is still the right place. For what? Not for bartending. West Virginia, their slogan, open for business. Yeah, even for black people now. Washington, say why? That's their slogan. State of Washington, say why? Capital W, capital A, exclamation point. Oh, no, that's not a question. That's say why? Wah? Wah. 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 I get it. I get it. It's a state for lost spacey people. Wah. 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 Kind of want to go to Washington all of a sudden. Live like you mean it, Wisconsin. Live like you mean it. Yeah. 'Cause your neighbor will mean it when it drops a bile to a killer you. So, everybody live like you mean it. Live like you mean it. There's a creepy guy in your bedroom closet standing waiting for you. Everyone sing it with me now. Live like you mean it. 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 Worst case scenario, you won't be living when the day is through. Hey, we have some Wisconsin listeners. Call and defend yourselves. I'd like to go outdoors right now. Does the microphone reach? Can I get outside from here? PETA to make tofu from George Clooney's sweat. PETA to make tofu from George Clooney's sweat. Why George? Let's start there. Get to the sweat later. But why him of all people? First guy who buys that stuff. Will you give me a Ringsky? Doug, yes. George Clooney's sweat is in this tofu. Oh. Put a little more in there, will you, Carl? Thank you. What's in that other deal? Well, those are just carrots. No, thank you. Any other men's sweat? George Clooney is being asked by People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals if he will donate a gym towel. This is all real, people. I don't make crap up. If he will donate a gym towel so that they can extract the salt from it and make some tofu. George is expected to not think of that as an odd question and just toss him a gym towel. You know what we could have some fun with there? The old Super Bowl commercial with Mean Joe Green, where he tosses the jersey to the kid, then that gets intercepted by the PETA people. Next thing you know, the kid catches up to get it back, and he's force-fed tofu. The organization has written George Clooney asking for permission to create the product. The technology exists to take your perspiration, George, and make it into a George Clooney-flavored tofu. We'd like to call it Clo-fu. Your fans, we think, would swoon at the idea of eating you. But what interests us most is that we would attract many people who don't try tofu because they worry that it's bland. As somebody who has tofu from time to time, I could say it's actually pretty good. They have flavored tofu out there. Now, once George's sweat is in it, that's the end of it winding up in the old Mishki fridge. What did George say, by the way, when they asked him? Did he think it was unusual to be asked that, or was this just another phone call, another day? If it's request for my sweat, it must be Monday. Request for other things, Thursday and Wednesday, respectively. They called up George. They said, we're going to need perhaps a sweaty gym towel from you. We want to make tofu out of your sweat, George. And George said, guys, is it okay if I just defecate into a pot of stew for you? Sure, George, they said, whatever you want, whatever you prefer, we just really like you. Do whatever makes you feel comfortable, that'd be great. Yeah, crap in some stew for us, sweet, that's cool as hell. Thanks, man, appreciate it, thanks for your time. Stay well now, bye-bye, I love you, man, all right, thanks. Hey, you got the bucket? Yeah, all right, cool. And with that, they moved on to the next twisted request of a famous celebrity. Oh, boy. Time for more music, Saint Dominic's Trio. What you got for us now? Give it to us straight. We can take it. St. Dominic's Trio, this is Mishki here in the stream, coming to you courtesy of City Pages. I think I'm going to call a zombie, see if he's around. Bear with me, please. 612 508. He's probably outside. Let's see if I can get him.
Hello?
Hey, Andrew?
Yeah.
It's Mishki. Sorry to be calling late, but I sent you an email last night seeing if we were still on. I didn't hear back from you, so I thought it might not be happening, but I thought I'd give it a stab, see if I could catch you now.
Yeah, I'm free right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry about the delay.
That's okay.
This is Adam Graham, ladies and gentlemen. You're what year over
Andrew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Andrew Graham. You're what year over at the U? What year are you at the U?
I'm a freshman.
Freshman at the University of Minnesota. And you have started a club there that prior to your arrival at the U did not exist. Is that right?
Correct.
What's the official name?
The official name is the Minnesota Association for Zombie Enthusiasts, a.k.a. MAZE.
And I'm going to assume that the vast majority of listeners have no idea what a zombie enthusiast is, so could you help them out?
Well, we're just a bunch of people that like zombies, all sorts of zombie media, zombie movies, books about zombies, that's just our interest.
How long before you pretty much run that well dry? I mean, how much stuff is there? After a couple of years, haven't you pretty much perused it all, viewed it all?
Actually, no, because, I mean, I've watched several movies, but there's still a ton of movies out there that I haven't seen, and there's a number of books. I've only read the most popular, The Zombie Survival Guide and World War Z, both by Max Brooks.
Now, the average person listening would say, okay, you know, some people like certain musicals. Some people like, I don't know, puppies. You like zombies. But it really goes further than that, and it's the part where it goes further than that that piques my curiosity. You not only, you and your group, share an interest in zombies, but also you plan to create a zombie apocalypse plan, which would map out escape routes and survival tips should the University of Minnesota ever be invaded. Now,
it's not super serious, but, you know, it's something that our group can do as like a, you know, besides just watching movies and stuff, is something fun to think about.
It's not super serious, but it's a little bit serious.
Yeah, I mean, there are people out there that take this kind of stuff really serious. And
are those people in your group?
Well, I'm pretty serious about stuff, and I know there are some people that really think about it in our group, but yeah.
Now, in order to be a group at the U, do you have to have a certain number of people for the university to identify you as an official group?
To make a student group, you just need 5 people and $25, and then you have to come up with a name, fill out an online description and stuff, and then make a constitution for your group.
You have a constitution?
Yeah.
Lengthy, or maybe just a sentence or two? Or?
It's a couple paragraphs. My cousin helped me write it, so I don't know exactly what's in it, but it's just basically mapping out what our group plans to do, and, like, you know, what we can and cannot do.
Are you concerned about a zombie apocalypse?
I don't know. Off and on, yeah. Sometimes I kind of laugh at myself. Other times I'm dead serious about it.
Yeah. When you're dead serious about it, what is the actual fear?
I don't know. I think it's mostly the fear that, you know, everybody that you know could turn into a huge threat against your life. And that's what really got me interested is, you know,
I don't think they can, though. Can they? Can they? Could they turn into a huge threat?
Well, if zombies were real.
Right, but are you... What assumption are you going on? That they are or aren't?
Well, they're definitely not real now, okay. But I mean, just zombie movies have evolved to make things much more realistic, so that instills a lot of fear in people. And
so, in other words, the more real Hollywood gets with their presentation of zombies, the more we're moving toward a time when perhaps it could cross over into flat-out nonfiction.
Right. Kind of like alien movies, you know? Like War of the Worlds, you know? It was totally fiction, but people believed it to be real because it was so realistic.
Right, but it was fiction. So let's go back to your fear that people could turn on you all at once.
Yeah.
When your fear is at its greatest, is there anyone actually messing with you in your life at that time?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So not a single person has turned on you yet.
Right.
But again, there's a possibility that all of them could all at once, and then what's the plan? You have an escape plan?
Well, I don't know. It changes depending on where I am.
Okay, say you're in Dinkytown.
Just definitely get out of the cities, because in the case of any zombie apocalypse or zombie invasion, cities are a bad place, because there's a lot of people and a lot of closed spaces, and so you just want to get out of there. Other than that, I don't know a whole lot about Minneapolis, because...
Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Plymouth, so I'm not from too far away,
right.
And I've been to Minneapolis several times in my life, but I don't know the exact ins and outs of it, so that's kind of like one of the points of this group is just to, you know.
Wonder how widespread this fear is in Plymouth. As somebody who's from time to time driven out that way through Plymouth, just to every now and then, if I don't know why I live in the city, I'll go out there. And then I know when I'm out there, and I see those houses, and I see those perfect lawns, and those beautiful cul-de-sacs. I guess I'm thinking some weird stuff's going on behind the doors, but I'm not thinking that it's zombie central out there in terms of fear. But you obviously grew up. Is it possible at all that you were exposed a little early in life to zombies? I found that in my own life when I was exposed to certain creatures, for instance, and I'm quite serious, Lurch from the Addams Family.
Yeah.
I was exposed to him at too young of an age. I couldn't handle it. And once that happens, then that fear of Lurch is there for life. Did you have a parent accidentally show you a zombie film at two or something, two or three?
No, I don't think so. You know, I might have snuck a peek at a movie when I was younger, but because I remember seeing Day of the Dead.
Yeah, no, for
at
those
a pretty young age, and I don't remember.
For those who don't know, we should just clear up. We're talking about zombies are dead people who are up walking around. So it's not just your fear that people around you will turn on you; they'll die first, then turn on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a whole different level of fear. You know, some people out there, you know, global warming's a big issue with them, and they can't even get people in this country to agree on that science. Imagine how tricky it gets when the issue is your neighbors dying, coming back to life, and turning on you. How did you figure out that you could get others interested to form an actual organization at the U?
Well, I really didn't think I would get this much, you know, publicity and this much interest. I basically, you know, I went to the U and, walking across, Washington Avenue Bridge, I saw the different, paintings for the student groups and thought it would be pretty easy to make a group. And I thought, you know, I thought really hard, like, what group would I want to join? And at the time, you know, and I still am really interested in zombies, and so I talked to my roommate about making a group, and he was in on it, and I met a few more people that were cool with the idea, and so that...
Did you run into anybody who said, no, I wouldn't be interested in that?
Not really.
Wow.
I haven't really, like, I don't go and recruit people. You know, I just talk to people, you know.
Still, you're pretty much batting 1,000, it sounds like. You obviously have a good intuitive sense. After a couple of beers or something, hanging with a guy, you feel you can broach the subject and that they'll be amenable, and you'll say you're interested in the zombie deal, and almost everyone you've asked has been interested.
Well,
it's great.
I have some interesting friends, too. And
do other people think that?
Like, well,
I mean, you know, are they all are they interesting to an outsider, or you mean just to you because of a zombie interest? If I were to come upon them, would I find a sort of a feeling around them that they're different from your average folks?
Maybe. I mean, me and my friends were all kind of odd people.
I like odd people. They make life more interesting. I didn't think there were any in Plymouth.
Well, yeah.
You're not going back there, are you? First of all,
where?
I don't think you'll be welcome. Plymouth?
Oh, I'm home right now.
Oh, boy. You ought to get to the dorm. What do your parents think?
Well, my mom's totally cool with it. She, you know.
It's always the mom who's cool with it.
Well, yeah. I mean, my whole family thinks I'm an oddball. But my sister's totally on board with it. She's been my best friend since we were little.
That's great.
And so, yeah,
that's
she great. Totally thinks it's cool. My dad, you know, he's, no matter what, he's proud of me. But when I told him that, you know, I was starting this group, and then later that we were going to be in the Minnesota Daily, he wasn't too sure if he should be proud or not.
Well... You know, it's tough.
It is a weird thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not something he's mentioning to the fellows at happy hour.
Yeah.
There is something I read in the Minnesota Daily about your group. When drafting survival plans, your ideas are rooted in zombie culture, common sense, such as always escaping to the highest level possible in a building and then destroying the stairs behind you. I don't really know that that's something you'd be able to do, do you? Also, it says here you have some concerns about the Washington Bridge. There are some trouble areas you've spotted around the Twin Cities. The Washington Avenue Bridge could be a problem if all these people died and came back to life and turned on you. Why would the Washington Avenue Bridge be a problem specifically?
Well, and that was a quote from my good friend, Tanner. He... thinks that's it's a major point of congestion, and so a lot of people would flee to that area to get either to West Bank or East Bank, because it's a major crossing area, and during the day when there's, you know, hundreds of kids crossing it to go to class, just thinking about zombies and then thinking about, you know, what were to happen if I was in a zombie invasion right now, this would not be a good place, because imagine all these people not as people but as zombies.
Yeah. when I mentioned at City Pages I was going to have you on after encountering a few stories about you, one of the employees over there said, well, that fella's not happy with me at all. Do you know what I'm talking about? Did someone write about you guys and upset you? I can't.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There was it was on the City Pages webpage. There was an article about us, but it I don't know. I didn't know about it, and it was basically just, taking stuff from our group description and from the Minnesota Daily. And I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with it now, but when I read it late at night, it just sounded like
you weren't being taken seriously.
Kind of. I mean, I know we're kind of an odd group, and I don't take myself seriously all the time, but we are an official group, and
this is what I've learned from our conversation. This is a real worry of yours. Yes, from time to time, you tell yourself to lighten up and get on with your day, but there are other times when there's just this haunting feeling that if you don't confront this and do make plans, you could end up saying at some point in your life, I should have been ready for this. They're turning on me.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing as if someone watches a scary movie where the bad guy is a serial killer, and then for the next day or two, you know, you're scared that someone's going to break into your house and kill you, and so then you kind of lock yourself up and stuff like that.
The person listening right now is saying to themselves, but there are real serial killers out there. They're in the news all the time. I mean, there's a story in the paper within the last week of a guy who his car breaks down and he goes into the nearest house and he takes everybody out. He kills them. That's real. I mean, that stuff happens. Granted, it doesn't happen that often. But the zombie thing, what's intriguing to I think most people listening is we haven't yet found our first zombie.
Yeah.
So that's the one big difference I see there with that example. Otherwise, I'm with you. I just see that as one little difference.
Yeah. It's just that, you know, even though it's a fictional thing, it can still...
Could still happen.
Yeah,
and it can still happen because the very first time there was a serial killer, I don't know when that was, say Mesopotamia, 1500 BC, whenever it was, up till then the stories were all fiction. And everybody was saying, yeah, serial killer, good one. Yeah, that's a good story, Chuck. And all of a sudden there was one. And then it wasn't so funny anymore. So you may have the last laugh there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I could be completely wrong.
I don't think so.
You know?
Does the U, by the way, help out a group? Once you form an organization, does the U shovel some money your way or give you a little nod or help you out in any way, give you some posters or some...
Well, they don't really... hand it to you. You know, you have to, if you're planning an event, then you can ask for funds or
have you done that yet? Have you asked?
I'm working on doing that right now because after the Minnesota Daily published our article, I got a call or an email from Max Brooks's agent. And he's the one that wrote the Zombie Survival Guide in World War Z. He's also the son of Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft. So it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
And it costs like $10,000 for him to come here. So we need a lot of money.
They'd have to pony up there. I think what you say to him at that point is, and I'm quite serious, look at all the hullabaloo you made out of Tubby Smith. How about a little coming my way? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't just have to be about sports over there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir. I appreciate your time. Andrew, right?
Yep.
Andrew. And what's your last name? I put the sheet down and pulled out the Minnesota Daily story.
Andrew Graham.
Yeah, Andrew Graham. And if you are having any events and people might be interested in them, where would they learn more?
They can either go onto the U of M website and then search the list of groups, find our group name, Minnesota Association for Zombie Enthusiasts, and then my email will be listed there, and they can email me about joining, or if they have a Facebook, they can go on there and search our group name, and there is a group that they can join.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, I've enjoyed speaking with you. Again, I apologize for being late. I all of a sudden got nervous that we weren't on for today, and then at one point I thought I'd give it a try. But so thanks again for your time.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye-bye. You know, the thing about this email is, I got the email in front of me, and it's there to be looked at, and it's inches from my face. But what I forget to do, and what I have to do in order to take any new email, is refresh the damn thing. So I'm sitting there looking, going, nothing coming in. Well, I forget. You got to refresh. I refresh. All of a sudden, there's 100 emails there, including Johnny... Johnny Cochran's phone number. Now, I got to get a hold of it. Boy, I want to call this too. I got to get a hold of Emily Kaiser right now. Emily, you'll be shocked to know I don't have your phone number. Please give me a ring. I have it here somewhere, damn it. I got to get a secretary or a, maybe just another kid or a zombie. I got to get something. Calling Emily Kaiser. Calling Emily Kaiser. Emily Kaiser, I believe, is the person Andrew didn't like, or at least didn't for a while. And then I think after a while he realized, well, it's all... Everybody's going to take it differently. I don't know. I don't know. Someone once said, this was a famous sage... might have been someone who lived in a cave in Kashmir. Hey, Emily?
A little Mishko gone from 50,000 watts to a little radio station. How the mighty creepy have fallen.
Would you like to stay on and chat, or do you want to hang up? You want to talk or some more? I'm game. Hello? I'm not going anywhere. Talk to me, baby. I get a real good feeling talking to you on the phone. Well, I gotta hang up to make room for Emily. It ain't 50,000 watts, that's true. 50,000 watts, that used to get me all over the Twin Cities. This damn thing I'm on now only gets me around the world. Maybe Emily is having more migraines. Emily, I'm serious when I say I don't have her. She's not listening, is she? All right, I'll call Johnny Cochran. Uh, 602. Long distance? Burnsville. Okay. Why did it start ringing already? You know, if you'd have told me there's a 602 area code in the Twin Cities, I would have said you're nuts. Hello?
Hey, it's Emily.
All right. I have got to write your carve your number in something. Wonder how long this will go before I finally have it. Hey, where's 602? Kevin Hoffman just sent me Johnny Cochran's phone number. 602, uh-huh. That's a Twin Cities area code?
I don't think so. He must mean 612, I would guess.
Well, Burnsville isn't 612, is it? Burnsville?
No, I just looked it up. It looks like it's Arizona. maybe he just works on a cell phone and he's...
Maybe Kevin's playing a practical joke on me. let's see, there's another guy named Nate passing along the number. And he's got a 952. For Johnny Cochran. I'll try that later. Do you know the billboard I'm talking about, Emily?
It sounds familiar. I don't know that specific location, but I think I've seen similar ones around.
Yeah, it's Johnny Cochran's head, and then next to his head it says injured question mark. And they're trying to sell the idea that he could be your lawyer. And I think a lot of people missed it in 2005 when he died, because I don't think it was huge news. I don't know how long after the O.J. trial that was, but I will follow through on this and make some calls. You are the one Andrew didn't care for, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And it sounds like it was a late night reading of it, and his just immediate reaction is, okay, I'm being the butt of a joke here. I don't like it. Who would? And in the warm, comforting light of day, it was, I'm back to lighten up Andrew, kind of. I think that's what happened. But
it must have been. I mean, I feel like if you're going to have a zombie student group, that you have to have some sense of humor about yourself and your group to survive, because I don't think mainstream people are, you know, making zombie escape plans.
Right, but since when do we look to City Pages for the mainstream? I mean, aren't we? We're kind of out there.
We are a little out there, and that's why I figured it would be funny to make note of it.
I now, for the first time in my life, am actually thinking about zombies as a real possibility. I am. A lot of people can use aliens as an example of something that was one time thought of to be ridiculous, and now, I think it was just Friday, talked about the Colorado farmer, never would have bought this stuff before, but he wakes up in the morning and someone has taken the udder out of his cow, not leaving any tracks, and he's saying, okay, I'm on board. You know, you have one incident with a zombie, it'll turn your life around. I have not been to the blotter today because of the pitch meeting. What's new?
Let's
do you have
see.
The Wisconsin? You must have the Wisconsin slogan story.
I don't have it up yet. I've been busy with other stuff and was hoping for some more fun Wisconsin news to compare along with it, but there hasn't been any. The police stuff from the weekend hasn't come in yet from Wisconsin, so we'll have to wait a couple days to see what happened over the weekend there.
So what have you posted?
I had a post about there was another base jumper in downtown Minneapolis today, or this weekend.
What a glorious weekend for base jumping. Off a building?
Yeah, they jumped off of the Hotel Ivy. I think they were 19 stories up.
It gets a little tougher on these parts to do serious base jumping. Tougher yet in St. Paul. What kind of distance do you need in order to survive that? You free fall, or the chute opens instantly, or how does it work?
Yeah, there's actually WCCO. Actually, one of the guy's buddies went over to WCCO. He did it at like 3 a.m. and told WCCO that he was going to do it. And so they sent out a cameraman to go tape him jumping from Hotel Ivy. So there's actually a video of it.
Now, in that particular instance, we have, I think, a journalism ethics question. Do you film it, or do you call the police? What if the guy died?
In the story they interviewed a lawyer who's represented base jumpers before, who technically says that base jumping isn't illegal unless the person has trespassed or ends up causing harm in resulting from jumping. Because he was saying, you know, if someone were to buy a condo up on, you know, the top floor of a building downtown, who's going to stop them from, you know, jumping down to their car in the morning if they want to?
It's not illegal to jump down to your car from a rooftop?
That's what this lawyer's saying, and they don't counter it in the story, and I haven't looked into it, but that's the argument this guy's making, is that it technically isn't illegal.
Did the guy, well, obviously the guy survived, and he was not arrested?
No, I don't believe he was. I know the people that did it at the O'Shea Tower, I think it was beginning of January, they got arrested, but they went back to the scene of the crime with a YouTube video and were showing it off at the bar. I think they had technically trespassed, too, because they had broken some bars to get above the kind of outlook space.
If you go to YouTube, is this stuff all over the place? This space jumping
base
business?
Jumpers. Yeah, and WCCO makes mention that there's like an underground club going on in Minneapolis, and I kind of dug around a little bit and couldn't find anything online about them, but supposedly this is like a growing thing in Minneapolis.
I'm at your blotter now. Minnesotans never leave and no one moves here. Minnesota, one of the top sticky states and one of the lowest magnetic states. Never heard those terms at all applied in this instance. We're a sticky state, though. People don't leave.
People do not leave. I mean, I've seen that kind of, you know, anecdotally. Just I'm from here and have always lived here. I mean, I moved right away temporarily, but I'm back now. And, you know, I know plenty of people that I went to school with that are still around. So there must be something that keeps us here. I don't know what it is.
Well, let's look at what it is. What is it? I think the obvious things we can say are you're not going to be more attracted to Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, Indiana, Kansas, Ohio, Michigan. Okay, so let's assume if the country were just those states, it would make sense. Okay, now move beyond that. I'm going to throw out a couple of guesses.
All right, go for it.
I don't think this will stick, but I'm going to try it. I think in this state you will find often more so. Oh, this is a stupid argument. I'm going to give up that argument. I was going to argue that. No, I'm not even going to say it. I don't have an argument. You have an argument? I'm not going to say it. It's embarrassing, actually, to say it. Do you have an argument?
I don't know, and it's. I feel like it's a weird because we have, you know, our weather really isn't that great. I don't really know what there isn't like kind of an obvious thing except that, you know, we do have like a good mid-sized city that isn't, you know, completely overwhelming that might, you know, scare some people away, and you can get a lot of people from out in the rural areas that would want to maybe move into Minneapolis when they're
okay.
You know, out of high school.
Okay, and now it's coming to me. So, right, there's enough going on here, it being especially with the Twin Cities being a top 15, top 16 market, where you don't feel the need to go to the big time. You can find it, relatively speaking, you can find it. And if you were to go to the big time, you deal with all sorts of problems that don't exist here. Once you get past those states I mentioned earlier and head to where the people are going, whether it's LA or New York or Miami or even the Southwest, you go where everyone is going, everyone went, and you begin to lose certain things associated with your quality of life that you may or may not be willing to give up. But that sense of home thing is something I was going to address earlier, but what I couldn't figure out is why you couldn't make the same argument about Indiana or Wisconsin. Everywhere you would have a sense of family, a sense of home, a sense of belonging. There's no reason that wouldn't exist anywhere. I was going to argue because what I've encountered with people is relationships with other human beings means too much to people to leave it. Some people look at life as experiences with other worlds, other places, new experiences, new ideas. And then there are those who gravitate to the familiar because of all the great things that come with it, the warmth of it, what happens when you've been friends or connected with someone over decades versus just a couple of years. If you haven't experienced that, you can't know what I'm talking about. But there is something that happens over the long haul that is a very different feeling than if you just moved every 4 or 5 years and tried to live in a different place. There is always a trade-off there. And I was going to argue at the beginning that a lot of people I know don't want to sacrifice relationships for terrain, climate, mm-hmm. topography, water, whatever. And that's the trade-off. They'll start over somewhere. And what you often see, and I don't know if you address this at all, is the people who come back. Is that addressed at all? That's not sticky because you're leaving. That's sticky and magnetic. That's sticky / magnetic.
I think it was like they actually interviewed people in a certain time period to see if they, you know, where they were living and were they born there sort of thing. They didn't really address that. But there was another study that I kind of mentioned at the bottom that they did kind of like how many people have lived in different places.
Right.
And they actually said that nationwide, 37% of Americans have only lived in one town their entire lives.
What's the percentage, I'm sorry?
37.
Wow.
Which I feel like that's pretty high, that people, you know, never went away to college and, you know, never, you know, tried somewhere else even.
I'll just tell you my own personal experience. When I grew up, I thought for sure I would live somewhere else, and I thought the only way to determine where that somewhere else would be to begin to experiment with other places. So I headed out, and I went looking for other cities and other states and other places to live, and then I left the country, went looking there, and I saw a lot of wonderful places, 44 states and 17 countries, and while I saw a lot of wonderful places, when it was all looked at in its entirety. The place that made most sense to me was where I started in the first place. And what I came to accept ultimately is this strange notion that maybe fate throws you where it throws you for a reason in some cases. Maybe I just came to accept that I was tossed into this particular tundra for some reason, and that's where I was going to live out my days. And while I would love to see and would see a lot of other places before I died, I would always come stumbling back this way. And so far, so good. That's worked out. I thought for one stretch of time that I would want to live in Montana, and I did live out there in a renegade little village called Butte, where they didn't really have any laws. And for a while, I thought that would be sort of ideal, Evel Knievel country. And but other things come with that, again, in the great trade-off. The coolest thing it had going for it, though, underground opium dens under the entire city, still accessible from the days of the turn from the 19th to the 20th century, when it was the largest Chinatown between Chicago and the coast. And all those opium dens were unexplored. They were still there. You could still go through them. You could find all sorts of remnants from those early days when it was only a $50 fine to kill a Chinese guy in Butte, Montana. And they, in fact, have filmed movies of Chinatowns from the 19th century in Butte and just said they're somewhere else. They either said this is San Francisco in the 19th century, but it's filmed in Butte. And what was really cool about the alleys in Butte was that's where the Chinese had all their storefronts. They weren't allowed to have their storefronts on the main street where the whites did, so they operated in the alleys. So you have these alleys that have these incredible looks to them, and then you have this underground tunneling system, which we would run through at night, 3-4 in the morning after the bars closed, and there was gambling done down there and all sorts of wild stuff. So it was, and then during the day, if you wanted to, you could go to a bar and have a drink with Evel Knievel. I would find him at 10 in the morning drinking whiskey at a place called Jerry's Corner Bar. So it was pretty exciting for a stretch when I was about 21, but again, I came back. There's Coleman's face on the blotter. That RNC thing lets me know he's not going to disappear from the blotter. We will have his face to look at for years to come. Norm Coleman will, according to the scuttlebutt, we don't know for sure, head up the RNC as the national chairman, right? That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. There was actually a response on the Hill after that report came out that Coleman said that he hasn't been approached at all for the job
and is
not interested. But he said he wasn't interested in the job.
Really? I don't believe that. What else is he going to do?
I think he doesn't want to make it look like he's, you know, trying to get something higher while he's still in the middle of another battle.
Yeah, well, he's interested. Tell him what the young pages look like, and he'll be scampering over there. All right, Emily, thanks for your time. I'm going to try to get a hold of Johnny Cochran here while I still can. Thanks.
Well, I'll talk to you. Good luck.
Bye-bye. Emily Kaiser, you can see the blotter at citypages.com. Her posts several every day throughout the day. I'm going to give it a shot. Then I'm giving up on Johnny Cochran. How do I know this other guy isn't? How do I know this isn't a practical joke? The Johnny Cochran firm. I'll do it. I'll bite. All right, I'm doing it. 952.
Hi, this is Jim Rolfhouse of James Rolfhouse and Associates in the Cochran firm, Minnesota. Sorry I missed your call. Please leave me a message. I'll call you back as soon as I can. Thanks.
All right, guys. Now, what happens at this point, a lot of guys give up, but at this point I say I'm halfway now. I'm getting a hold of somebody. I am getting a hold of somebody right now. Come on. I've got the website up. Give me another number. The Minneapolis, Minnesota office of the Cochran firm has attracted some of the state's and country's top attorneys. They never answer their phone, but they are the top attorneys. No firm in the country has achieved the success of the Cochran firm. Huh. Really? Nope, that's the only number they give. Q&A. Let's go to the Q&A section. Someone asked if Johnny Cochran's alive. Where's the Q&A? Here. Nope, no one's asking that. You'd think that'd be the obvious question. Say, isn't Johnny dead? All right, I'm giving up officially now. Next to Deja Vu in Minneapolis on Washington, Michigan is another Johnny Cochran ad. Again, showing his picture and asking, are you injured? Hello?
Speaking of Johnny, whatever happened to Joe?
Joe,
the old caller that used to call me old podcast.
Yeah, obviously he's completely unaware I'm where I am now, and even if he were aware, I don't know if he'd know how to access the program. That's sort of the thing that happens when you switch into this medium. You lose a lot of people who are saying, what the hell are you talking about? You're on what?
Have you heard from him in years?
I heard from him last fall. That was probably the last time. Why, are you thinking cirrhosis? He's out of here? That's a strong possibility.
You know? No, I just thought maybe since when you switch hours, I used to hear him at night.
Yeah, well, he used to call sober at the old, at noon to two, I'd hear him stone cold sober. You would not have recognized him.
You said you'd hear him on other stations, calling K-Fan or something.
Big fan of Barrero, he was. Yeah, he called Barrero all the time. Yeah.
Did you like him?
I loved him. There was a lot that I had in common with him, actually.
Not the drinking.
Well, he'd grown up with a Catholicism, and he was still deeply rooted in it, and that's a cultural thing that anybody who grows up a Catholic understands. So there was that. That would always come up in his conversations. Fortunately, not the living with mom still part of it. But
hey, you know why my girlfriend starts to listen to your show? Because you drink Summit.
That's a beautiful thing. Let me pass that along to Mark Stutrud, the founder over there. He's always looking for reasons to bail on me, but that one's going to keep him around for a while longer. Thanks.
And one other question. Yeah. You know all that old fun stuff you'd have, like Whoops-a-Daisy and the Dear Abby song? Is that all by the wayside?
It's all sitting over there. It's on 3415 University Avenue. Think I can go get it? They changed the code to get in the door.
Well, you could get it. Are we never going to hear that stuff again?
It's a new day. It's a new dawn, man. It's a new show. You can't go home again. It's there. I could go get it. I shouldn't say I could go get it. That's assuming they'd give it to me.
Could you please within the next month?
I don't know, because I haven't decided if I want to go back to that. I really don't know. I don't know that
I
want to.
Give it some thinking.
All right, I will. By the way, my boy this morning provided for me some brand new things to play having to do with what you're talking about. So maybe you'll get what you want, but in a brand new version.
I at least want two things from your 90s broadcast.
Okay, sir, I'm writing that down now, and I'm on it. Thank you. I want two things from your 90s broadcast. More Johnny Cochran, Joe Peters, Mishki, here's the number. Okay, it's the same one I called, so we're going to get a machine if we call that, so we're not calling that. Moving on, let's see what else we have. Mishki.
Hey, speaking of stuff from the old broadcast.
Yeah.
I know you did it last week, but would you go out of the show with good old St. Paul and then whatever else?
Whatever that other city is. Yes, sir, I will. For you, I will.
Good old St. Paul, big time, rest of the world, since it's online now, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, it certainly isn't an official ID that's needed as it was. That was a legal thing I had to do at the KSTP, but
right.
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. I appreciate it. It's yours. It's coming your way. Well, there's another number for Johnny Cochran. Give it up, Tom. Don't do it. I gotta. That doesn't make sense. I think that's a gag. Here's another one for Johnny Cochran. They're coming out of the... Nope, that's the same one I called. Thank you, sir. Here's their Minneapolis site. Maggie, thank you. Okay, if I just see a different number, I'll call it. I'm gonna check real quick. Anything? Nope, 224-2141, that's the same number. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I've dialed the wrong number.
No, you haven't.
Oh.
Go ahead.
There's a Johnny Cochran that hangs out at the Spot Bar on Randolph Avenue. He's there all the time.
Do they have a web page?
Absolutely not.
Do you have a number for the spot?
I'll look it up here. Yeah,
look it up and give it to me. Those of you who don't know much about the east side of the Mississippi, if you've been booted out of every other bar in St. Paul, if you're not welcome at all on Grand Avenue, there's one place that still welcomes you with open arms, the Spot on Randolph. It is a drinking man's, drinking man's, drinking man's, drinking man's saloon. They open the doors at 8 in the morning, and there's usually a line there. If that's where I find Johnny Cochran, you know what I'm going to give you, fella? A brand new kitchen, courtesy of all cabinets and appliances. I'm not joking. All right?
Sounds good to me. All right. 224-7433.
I'm on it. Thank you. 224-7433. It's odd to call a place when you're looking at an obit of the guy. I'm reading Johnny Cochran's obit right now, and I'm calling him.
Spot Bar.
Has Johnny Cochran in?
No, Johnny Cochran's not in town, I believe. He's moved away a while ago.
Oh, he did? Is he still is he still practicing?
Practicing?
Law?
I'm not sure. Who's calling?
Tom Mischke?
Tom Mischke?
Yeah.
How you doing, Tom?
Good.
Hey, this is Tommy right here. I don't believe so, but I believe he lives down with he's living down in California or Florida with his parents.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
He isn't in a zombie organization, is he?
I'm sorry?
Johnny Cochran, living with his parents out there, huh? I've been trying to track him down all day. Good crowd today?
It's all right.
Hey, now, will you have a pretty good crowd tomorrow because it's officially St. Paddy's Day, or was it better last Saturday?
We're going to have a mighty full crowd tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's weird, too, because the Spot, I mean, it's not Mick Spot or O Spot, it's just the Spot. It's not really an Irish bar, is it?
Well, it's owned by the O'Toole, Mike O'Toole. And yeah. he is as Irish as they come.
Well, he is as Irish as they come, but how come he didn't slap his name on it like all the other Irish guys in town? Your McCafferty's, your O'Gara's, your Gallivan's, your O'Connell's. There's an O'Toole, and he doesn't put his name out there.
You know what? That's a very valid point. I'm not exactly sure what the reasoning is, but I'm sure he has some kind of reasoning.
I wonder if his fear was if there was an Irish name out front, people would think it's a hardcore drinking bar.
That very well may be.
How many were in line at 8 this morning when you opened the door?
This morning?
Yeah.
Well, I cleaned the bar here. There was only like about 3 or 4 waiting this morning.
Waiting to come in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you on air right now?
Well, yes and no. No in the sense that I'm not on the air. Yes in the sense that I'm doing my show, but my show is not an on-the-air show anymore. I just do it.
That's what I heard. And that's awful, man. Tom, I got to tell you, I remember working at a cucaracha way back in the early 90s. And you would always come in, you know, with your 17 newspapers or whatever you were doing and doing your research and just having fun. I remember talking to you many times. I really enjoyed your show, especially when we first got started. What was his name? Bob?
Don Vogel.
Don Vogel.
Yeah.
I remember listening to him from way back then.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Anybody at the bar I know is
right now you caught us at a lull of all lulls. I mean, this is the first time I'm bartending right now.
All right, let me see. I'm going to give you one guess. If you can guess right, I'll deliver something to you at 4 o'clock when the show's over. A prize. I'll give you one guess why that would be. Why the place would be empty right now?
Because, and this is going to sound kind of harsh, because Michael Tool just left and people don't know that I'm bartending.
No. And this should make you feel a little better. It's the single nicest day of 2009 today.
It is the what?
The single most beautiful day since the first of the year. Probably since the 20th of November.
Yes, since November, yeah. Correct.
What we're looking at here is a day where if you sit inside a bar, which basically has no windows,
mm-hmm.
alcoholism is clearly playing a role.
No, it isn't, and that's something that I'll always keep in mind. It's
yeah, it's not you. I swear to you, it's not you. Okay. All right, well, good chatting with you.
Well, thanks, Tom.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Mishki, get off the Johnny Cochran thing. By the way, all appliances and cabinets responsible for this here program. Thank you, Mark Rutzik. Thank you, Rutzik family. Here's a way I want to say thanks to you people for listening to this show. I want to give you a kitchen. Here's how it's going to work. It's simple. If you would like to remodel your kitchen, remodel your entire kitchen, I'd like to give you a head start. I would like to give you the refrigerator, all right, and the stove. I'll give you the stove and a microwave. I'll give you that and a dishwasher. But that's it. Those four appliances, brand new. So I'll give you a brand new GE refrigerator, stove, microwave, dishwasher. All right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to throw in $2,000 worth of cabinets. But that's it. Stop! If you would like to win that, will you do me a favor and describe for me your dream kitchen? Email me, mishki@citypages.com. I will collect these. At some point, I will contact you and invite you to a party that'll be fun whether you win the kitchen or not, because we're going to have a bunch of wine. We're going to have a bunch of food. We're going to gather. We're going to have some live music. We're going to be in this little venue, and at the end of our little party, I'm going to draw somebody's name, and they get a good head start on a giant kitchen remodel. Email me, mishki@citypages.com. Just describe for me what you want in a kitchen, what you're looking for, what you'd like to see your kitchen become, what items you've maybe heard about that you would like to get. Anything at all, pass it along. I'll take care of you. All right? Broadcast.
Yeah, hey. I was going to give Tommy the 800 number for the Johnny Cochran firm.
This is Tommy. Fire when ready.
Sorry. 1-800-843-3476.
Hard to believe if they're not answering the local number that they'll answer this.
I called it first just to check and they answered it.
God,
the wrong number.
God love you. Thank you. I'm on it right now. I am on this like maggots on a carp. Let's see here.
Thank you for calling the Cochran firm. This is Arthur. How can I help you?
Hello. I was injured in an automobile accident. I live in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we have a sign, a billboard up in our neighborhood with a phone number and Johnny Cochran's photograph on it.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do now?
Okay. Well, what we do here is we take your information and we get it to our attorneys in our office.
Mm-hmm.
That way, from there, they review your claim, and then they contact you and let you know what your legal options are concerning that. They either do that by phone or by mail.
Okay.
So let me go ahead and get some contact information from you, first of all, and then we'll get into the detail, like a brief statement of what occurred.
All right.
What is your first name, sir?
Dirk, D-I-R-K.
Last name?
Capital T-H-U-M-B-N-A-I-L.
Okay, Dirk Thumbnail. Okay. What is your mailing address?
1771 1 Street. It's not First Street. People always say, don't you mean First Street? Drives me nuts. No, our street is 1.
Okay. And when you say 1, is it spelled out or is it just the number 1?
Well, interestingly, it's both.
It's both, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's also sometimes thought of as W-O-N. But that's not true, especially for me after today. Although I'm hoping when I'm done working with Cochran, I'll be able to get the big W in that category. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
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 By the way, is that guy around?
No, sir. He's passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Golly, I don't know if they know that here. This billboard in my neighborhood, it just went up.
Mm.
It just went up. How long has he been gone?
For a while now. It's been a couple of years.
Wow, because they're just putting up a billboard in my neighborhood. It has Johnny Cochran's picture, and it says, injured, question mark. And, of course, anybody who knows Johnny's history, his success with O.J. Simpson, thinks this guy's going to get me some money. So I call up, of course, expecting him to be alive, and he's been gone for years?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah, some of the attorneys that worked with him, they're still here in our firm.
F. Lee Bailey? Could I speak to him? Was F. Lee Bailey was on the team, wasn't he? Or Dershowitz or Shapiro? Or was some of those big guns?
Attorneys that were working with him, but not with our firm. But these are attorneys that he appointed to work in his firm. So,
In a way, it's going to be like getting Johnny Cochran, right?
Pretty much, We have like real good attorneys here.
You can pretty much assure me, can't you, that they're as good as him? Because I would need to get someone as good as Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We have attorneys here who deal with cases like this all the time.
Yeah. Because you need not only the skills but the charisma and that ability to rhyme stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I honestly think, I mean, people make fun of that, but I honestly think it was the rhyme that won that for O.J. You know, mm-hmm. that's what sticks in your head all these years later. You know, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. He doesn't rhyme that. The jury doesn't remember it. O.J.'s in prison today. Wait a minute. O.J. is in prison today.
Yeah. They got him on some money charges.
They wouldn't have if Cochran were around. I bet O.J. was shocked when he dialed the number, probably saw a billboard himself looking for a little help, and the receptionist says, sorry, Johnny's dead. And O.J. says, hey, the billboard's just going up now. And they're saying, well, nothing shady going on here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we usually on the billboards they still use Mr. Cochran's face because, you know, he's well-known. And usually people can pick up, that's Johnny Cochran's law office. We'll call there.
Yeah, I had the same thing happen recently with a jewelry store. They had a Lazar diamond on the billboard, and they said, buy a Lazar. It's apparently the ideal cut, best diamond in the world. And when I went there, they said they don't have Lazar diamonds, but they have diamonds that were from the same region of the world where you would find the Lazar diamonds.
Hmm.
And they were cubic zirconia, which aren't even real, I don't think, but from that hemisphere of the Earth.
Oh.
It was from Earth. I guess it was just from the same planet.
Okay. What city in Minnesota do you live in, Mr. Thumbnail?
Buckman.
Buckman. B-U-C-K-M-A-N?
Well, interestingly, that's the way you'd think it would be spelled, but it's spelled this way, and don't ask me why. L-Y... T-H-E-T-O-N.
Okay.
Boy, a lot of people in the background. You must be getting a lot of calls.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bet every one of them is asking for Johnny.
Yeah, probably. What's the zip code there, Mr.
Thumbnail? It's got to be a drag day in and day out to have to say, I'm sorry, he's passed away. You know?
Yeah, it is. We have people asking for him all the time.
Yeah, I wonder if...
Fortunately.
If you just showed a picture of him at the morgue instead of alive, if that wouldn't help.
That probably would help a lot.
And they'd ask for someone else.
Yeah, definitely. What's the zip code there, Mr. Thumbnail?
56656.
Okay. And what's the phone number with the area code we can reach you at?
Area code 973-379-93793.
Okay. And what is that? Is that a cell phone?
It's an old 1910 candlestick. You know the old style?
The
old style?
Okay.
How are things going for you today? Is it sunny where you are?
Yeah, it is.
Well, what state am I calling you in?
This is Alabama. Oh.
You know what Alabama's motto is?
What's
state
that?
State motto. You don't know?
No. I haven't been living here too long. Oh.
Where America finds its voice.
And why would they put that as a...
I can't think of any reason. Yeah. I would think their motto would be, the lynchings are done now.
Oh. Wow. Okay, let's see here. Okay, so you said you're calling on regarding an automobile accident, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When did you have this automobile accident?
Yesterday.
Yesterday? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is your age, Mr. Thumbnail?
I am 62.
62. All right. Were you alone in the vehicle when this accident happened?
Yes and no. I was with my son, but he was not in the car. I know this is going to sound weird, but you put him in a baby seat in the house. You bring the baby seat out to the car. You have a coffee in your hand. You set the baby seat on the roof of the car. You grab your coffee, your other hand's free, open the door, you reach in, you set the coffee in the cup holder. At that point, your mind is saying, now get in the car. You have forgotten about the kid on the roof. I get in the car, I'm driving down the road, lady driving next to me is screaming at me. I think it's a road rage deal. She's trying to get my attention because the kid's up on the roof. Finally, I just say, I can't take this anymore. I slam on the brakes, and of course, you can imagine what we're looking at that point.
Yeah. Ooh, wow. So what exactly happened from there?
Well, guy behind me barreled into the back of me, hit me probably, he was probably doing 30. Woman to my left who was yelling at me was too close already and ends up sideswiping me. And as far as in front, well, that's where Junior was.
Mm, okay. Is he okay?
He's pissed.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right, if you can hold on 1 second, Mr. Thumbnail, I'll be right back, okay? Hold on.
All right. What's your name, by the way?
My name is Arthur.
Uh-huh. All right.
All right. Okay, hold on.
They played this at Johnny's funeral, I think. If the casket don't fit, take him out of it. People thought Johnny was just on vacation. Turns out Johnny was dealing with cremation. Every single day these people have to say, no, I'm sorry, he's passed away. Johnny Cochran dead at, I forget what age, but died in 2005. Let's see, I'm at the website here. Let's see when he died. Remembering the legacy. I'm clicking on the legacy, come on. Is that guy coming back? Give you 10 seconds, buddy, then I gotta run. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Damn it, that's a shame. Okay. This show is also brought to you by R.F. Moeller Jeweler. Marky Moeller and the folks at R.F. Moeller Jeweler want you to know if you go somewhere else for your wedding ring, your engagement ring, you're possibly making a huge mistake. No mistakes are made at R.F. Moeller. How is that possible, Tom? Everyone makes mistakes. What I'm saying is you will not have buyer's remorse. I will guarantee you, and this is a guarantee, you will be happy with your purchase there. If I have to go down there with you, find the ideal ring and the ideal price, I will do that. I will not allow you to ever feel badly about your purchase at R.F. Moeller Jeweler. If you are getting married, call me, write me. I will take care of you. I will not. If it means I have to live at your house with you and your spouse, I will do it. If I have to share your bed, that wouldn't be the first threesome I was involved in. I was in a law firm once. I will go to the ends of the earth, climb the highest mountain, find the bottom of the deepest sea, crawl around your backyard at night, zip into your basement, up the stairs, and under your skivvies to make sure you're happy. Wait a minute. What I'm trying to say is, start the ad over. Do not think of going anywhere else. Not only is R.F. Moeller Jeweler an operation that's been around half a century and even then some, not only do they have more certified gemologist appraisers, and registered jewelers than any other operation in town, they just flat out are gods, deities. Mark is in demand to speak all over the United States. He doesn't even own a big chain operation. It's just three stores. But the guy's considered the go-to jeweler in this country. Why is that, huh? Because Mark has the coolest drugs. No, because Mark, actually I don't know why. I've spent a lot of time with the guy. I don't really get it. But be that as it may, get a hold of me. Mishki@citypages.com when you're ready to get that diamond. Fellas, I'll take care of you. Seriously. And I'm buying the drinks. Mishki@citypages.com or, you can call me here. 651-330-4091. That's R.F. Moeller Jeweler, 50th and France, Ford in Cleveland, or next to Neiman Marcus in downtown Minneapolis. All right. Throw that away. What's this? World Wide Web is 20 years old this week. It was a simple technical paper with a simple title, Information Management, a Proposal, written by a researcher 20 years ago. It is also considered the birth certificate of the World Wide Web, a technology that's generated immense new wealth and transformed the way we work, the way we learn, the way we amuse ourselves. 20 years ago this week, good old Tim Lee, a researcher at CERN in Switzerland, C-E-R-N, handed in his proposal for a new kind of computer network. The paper and the technology it envisioned would spawn such giant enterprises as Google, Facebook, MySpace, Yahoo, Amazon, eBay, CityPages.com. Instead of patenting his 1989 brainstorm, Lee insisted the idea must be given away at no charge to the masses. What a guy. How many of us would have done that? It took 18 months for Lee to persuade CERN directors not to charge royalties for use of the web. Lee says, had we failed, the web would not be here today. Had we tried to make money off it, had we tried to charge, it wouldn't be here today. It was giving it to the world freely that resulted in its growth, its spread, its acceptance. Happy birthday, World Wide Web. You're 20 years old this week. You're 20 years old, and one more year you can drink. And might that not mean the beginning of the end for internet use? Think about it. A drunk, sloppy, obnoxious World Wide Web. How can we let that happen? Kill it! Kill it now! The World Wide Web's at the bar. I hope this doesn't go too far. It's all tabloid fodder. Watch them teeter, watch them totter. It's another drunk superstar. If you find a PR lady, please hire her, because you're getting destroyed in the National Enquirer. They've got the mugshot. You look like a Nazi. They've got you chased by the paparazzi. And your publicist, I believe you should fire her unless you desire her. You'll be in the National Enquirer. There are some folks in England who are demanding a psychiatric report on a city mayor after a string of eccentric initiatives. The mayor of a town in England recently issued a call for older people in town, shut-ins, to be tempted into state care facilities with caviar. That officials should use caviar to lure them into state-run operations and get them out of their houses. There is a call for medical tests after fears for this mayor's mental condition. He recently approved plans for a giant sculpture of a flying cow and a public monument to streetlights. The mayor has refused to comment on these demands that he be checked out psychologically. He has instead gone on holiday. Messes with their heads and goes on holiday. Yeah, you keep messing with their heads, fella. Don't stop now. Come back from holiday with an orange wig and order the composing of a state song on the kazoo. This is how we're supposed to live, people. This truly is. Only a few people get it. A public monument to streetlights, a sculpture of a flying cow. We're on a roll now, Mayor. Keep it going. Make dog owners take their pets for a walk each day using strollers. Demand the banks start opening for business at 3 a.m., but only for those wishing to make a withdrawal of Häagen-Dazs ice cream. Then when they come to question you, go on holiday again. This is how it was all supposed to be. I'll tell you how it wasn't supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be like this. A couple is suing Edina Realty for not telling them that a murder took place in the house they just bought. The case raises questions about what real estate agents and sellers have to reveal about a home's past. The tidy house on a quiet suburban street in Blaine caught the man's eye immediately. It had everything he and his wife Catherine had been looking for. Big yard, great kitchen. And the new carpet and freshly painted walls were more than they'd hoped to find in a foreclosed house. But the Blaine house also had a grisly past. One they discovered just days after they moved in, when a neighbor announced that the previous owner was murdered there. Murdered by her husband. The couple have since filed a lawsuit in Anoka County District Court. The suit's against Edina Realty. They argue the real estate company knew about the murder and said nothing. The case raises questions about what real estate agents and sellers have to reveal about a home's past. Minnesota law requires licensed agents to disclose anything that they know of that could affect an ordinary person's use or enjoyment of the property. Now, a study published last year in the Journal of Real Estate found that homes with grisly histories, such as murders, sold for 3% less on average, but sat on the market 45% longer. Before the couple filed the suit, they asked Edina Realty to take the house back. Edina Realty said, although they've been living there, they say they can't enjoy it because they're constantly reminded of the recent ghastly past. Sometimes they say they hear noises. They feel like they have to keep the lights on all the time. Guy says, I think about this every day. Every time I lay in bed, I think about it. Every time I hear something, I think about it. I think about it too, says Catherine. But only when the female apparition with a bloody face appears in the bathtub with me at night. That sort of gets me to leaving my sweet little daydreams behind, and instead I start, I guess you would call it screaming. It's not as bad during the day, of course. There's the portrait on the wall that starts sprouting the hatchet marks and that, but other than that, it's mostly nights where I find myself not so much enjoying the fire in the hearth as experiencing a cold sensation on my neck, turning to find the image of a corpse hanging upside down in the doorway, that sort of thing. Makes it hard to just have friends over for drinks, you know, and to play a little bridge. I always drink so much more than anyone else. They'll have a glass of wine, you know. I'll have a freaking pickle bucket full of turpentine just to get the thoughts out of my head. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to move. You bet we are. We'll be right back. St. Dominic's again helping me out today. Live music is all I play. Live music, did you say live music? Yes, you did. Local music, they both start with a G. That's the important thing. Local music is all I play here on the show. Thank God there is a deep well in this area. Before I wrap up, and I normally wrap up a minute ago, but I've come to realize I don't care about clocks anymore. As I learn to get used to this new gig, I realize I should quit worrying about clocks. Okay, start on time, but you don't have to end right at 4. Screw it. Have a beer, relax, enjoy the day, talk to the people. One day you'll be on your deathbed looking back. And do you really want to remember that you got out every day at 4 on the dot? Is that something to brag about, Tom? I don't think so. Tommy Leonard, Jimmy Leonard, what do the names mean? Probably don't mean anything to you. You know why? Because unlike a lot of these self-absorbed car dealers who have to have their name up top, who only want to let you know that they're responsible for those cars, that it's their dealership, Tommy and Jimmy Leonard don't run a place called Leonard's Chrysler Plymouth Jeep. Nope. When their dad started it, good old Red Leonard, who I hung out with about a week ago with a bunch of old cars in Lake Elmo, he and I got together with about 20 cars from the 30s through the early 60s and just looked at them and went around and he talked about them and I sat in them and I wrecked one of them, just one. It was a 57 Plymouth Fury. Nice car. Didn't know the seat swiveled. That threw me. Anyway, I took out a stroller. Fortunately, a kid was not in it. But I still had to pay for the stroller. Since when do people put dogs in those things? I don't think this one had legs. That gets creepy, but it makes it easier to kill the thing. You almost feel like you're putting it out of its misery. Where was I? Okay, these guys got a car dealership. South St. Paul? And then out in Lake Elmo, Fury Motors. Find me a better name for a car dealership. I'll sit here till you come up with one. And the days and weeks went by, and months turned to years, and Mishki grew old. Fury Motors. That's how you live life, people. You live it with fury. That's how you buy a car, people. You go to Fury. I don't want to buy a new car. Haven't you seen the economy? It's tanking, Tom. They have used cars, too. Now what's your excuse? Their used car sales are up 60%. Fury, live it. Fury, breathe it. Fury, find it. FuryMotors.com is where you can learn more. If you're looking for a Jeep, a Chrysler, if you're looking for a Dodge, if you're looking for a Japanese car, they don't have them. They don't have them. If you're looking for a dog named Liberty, he's there to greet you when you walk in. If you're looking for wood floors where the new cars sit and the wood beams and a fireplace, that's Fury. If you're looking for a place that's been around for decades and decades and decades and started in 1963 with one lone car on the showroom floor and four spark plugs in the parts department with Red Leonard looking for a name and turning to his wife and saying, give me a name for this place. And she said, my favorite stallion is the black stallion named Fury. And he says, that works for me. It's Fury Motors. You will not be taken care of better anywhere else. When you meet these guys, you will say there's something different going on here. If you don't say that, I will take your wife out to eat. All right? I will take your wife out, buy her dinner. I will take her to a hotel. I will treat her the way you should have been treating her, but apparently we're too busy at work to think of treating her. I know. Someone had to bring home the bacon. I think this show is over. Have we accomplished anything today? I'm getting out of the stream here in good old St. Paul, just east of Big Time Minneapolis, and I'll be back in it at 2 tomorrow. Till then, be well, and keep staying in touch. Mishki at citypages.com. I happily read these after the show, return them, enjoy hearing who's out there, learning who's out there. Have a fine afternoon.